Jerry writes this.
As you know by now, my husband and I were involved in a very serious four-wheeler accident in May. We were both injured, but Don's injuries are considered catastrophic. That word describes our situation well. This accident has caused a great amount of damage and suffering in our lives. I thought I knew and understood hard times, but recent events have taken that to a whole new level. Everything in our lives is different now, including who we are, and we are grieving as a result. The theme today is Christian soup for the soul, sharing our ups and downs of life. I find myself in a low point right now. I cry a lot. I get discouraged easily. I wonder why this has happened. I don't want to sound like Debbie Downer, but I do want to be real. All of this is very fresh for us, but I do expect things to get better, if not in this life, then in eternity. I want to share with you today the thoughts, ideas, and people who are helping me get through until it is easier. To begin with, before you face the hard days that are coming, and they will come, Job 14:1, you have to prepare yourself spiritually. If you have not instilled in your heart the Word of God, it will bring you no comfort in times of trouble. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." How does he provide that comfort? Through his written word. If you have not instilled in your heart the word of God, the temptation to sin in the hard days will be greater. Your words I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:11. If you have not instilled in your heart the word of God, then you even fully comprehend the hope of better days in the life to come. Romans 8:28. Ladies, knowing your Heavenly Father intimately before the downs of life is imperative to getting through them successfully. Don't wait until you're in the dark days. I have been learning coping skills, if you will, from people like Joseph, Naomi, and Paul. Joseph seemed to have low point after low point in his life. Think about what he endured: persecution and hatred from his own brothers, abandonment from his father. I realized that Jacob did not abandon him. He thought his son was dead, but from Joseph's perspective, he must have wondered why his father did not rescue him. He was sold into slavery. He manages to make some good of that and gets a good position, only to have his master's wife accuse him of attempted rape. He then's thrown into Pharaoh's prison. Once again, he makes a little progress and becomes in charge of the other prisoners. You remember how he interpreted the dreams of the baker and the butler? He asked the butler to remember him when the butler is released. Joseph must have hoped that he would be freed somehow, but he is forgotten for 2 more years. We know how Joseph comes about to great wealth, position, and family again. How easy it would have been for him to have given up on God, to think that a God had abandoned him. Joseph has a very different attitude. He tells his brothers in Genesis 50:20, But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. What I learned from Joseph is that I can be faithful to God even though I'm going through many hard circumstances. Naomi, she hit a hard patch in life. She went so far as to change her name to Mara, which means but bitter. She was bitter against God. She endured a famine that caused her family to move to a heathen land away from her family and the people of God. She then lost her husband and her two grown sons. She's suddenly a grieving wife and mother in a foreign land. And do you know how she handled it? She blamed God. Look at Ruth 1:13. No, my daughters, forgive not, grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. She accuses God of doing this to her, but whose choice was it to move to that land? Naomi's. Okay. Often our struggles come from our own choices. I'll repeat that. Often our struggles come from our own choices. We need to remember, too, that suffering and death are in this world because of sin, not because of God. God did not cause the accident to happen to me and my husband. He did not cause Naomi's family to die, and he does not cause you to suffer. God can, however, use these times for good. Think about how things turned out for Naomi. As a result of this tragedy, she returns home to her family, God's people. They, in turn, are able to help her. Consider how Boaz made sure that she and Ruth were provided for. This tragedy brought Ruth out of a heathen culture and false religion, and she becomes a Jewish proselyte, a child of God. Naomi begins to look out for Ruth's future, which takes her mind off of her own grief. Perhaps that's a lesson for us too. When we're struggling, perhaps we would do well to look out for others and its benefits. Another blessing from Naomi's tragedy is a grandbaby. Grandbabies make everything so much better. Don and I were blessed to live and meet our first grandbaby in August. Holden Ellie made everything right again. No doubt Naomi must have been so thankful to have survived all she did when she held sweet little Obed in her arms for the first time. Obed would not have existed had things not happened the way they did. One final blessing from Naomi's story is this. From the lineage of Obed came Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind. Nothing is greater. What I learned from Naomi is that when bad things happen to me, I can only see the right now. God can see the whole of our lives. Jamie Quarter said in her book, Let This Cup Pass, a parade was progressing down a very long street. God, in his wisdom, could see the entire event from beginning to end. Man had to view the parade through a tiny knothole in the fence. His view was entirely different from that of the one who saw from beginning to end. God can see how events, which seem so terrible to us, often make the difference in our eternal destination, which is the only thing of lasting importance. Paul also teaches me some things about suffering in the book of Philippians. Philippians is known as the book of joy, and yet Paul wrote it while he was in prison in Rome. He had suffered many things, false accusations, beatings, stoning, long and unjust prison time, shipwreck, snake bite, and uncertainty of life or a death sentence. This man knew suffering, yet he tells me that to live is Christ and to die is gain, Philippians 1:21. He reminds me in Philippians 3:13-14, that I need to forget those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You've heard the saying, comparison is the thief of joy. For me personally, I am realizing that looking back at what life was will not help me move forward. It won't go back to being that way if I think about it enough. It doesn't help me cope with the way things are. In fact, it only makes it worse. Most importantly, it doesn't help me press toward the goal of heaven. When I dwell on the past, I'm taking my eyes off the goal, and I won't get to heaven like that. This is a hard thing to do. Crying and grieving for what is lost is natural, and it is a process. It should not be a place where I set up house. Paul said too, "For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." Philippians 4:12. Paul said it is a learning process, but he learned to do it, and so can I. A couple more thoughts. There have been ups in this valley that I'm currently in. I still have many blessings, not the least of which is that my husband is still with me. We still live, laugh, and love. The church, the family of God, has been so encouraging and supportive and prayerful on our behalf. You have helped carry us through when we could not carry ourselves. I thank you for that.